Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Buongiorno.
Hello, everyone.
Is it Buongiorno?
It's Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno, yes.
It's not a boon.
It's not a boon.
It's not a silent U.
there's no U, silent or otherwise.
Okay.
Well, thank you for asking, though. It's really...
I want to make sure that I'm saying it right.
Consider it.
Well, thank you for being here. This is PCMC. We come out every Wednesday, and we have since the dawn of time.
And we will until the end of time.
Until the end of days. This is a full episode. So we're going to do three segments. We're going to do news, trailer corner, we're going to do chill sesh, and we're going to do obsessions.
Very good.
So how are you feeling?
I'm not great.
Oh, okay.
I'm under the weather.
I'm so sorry.
I have a little, I don't know if it's a cold or if it's allergies, but I'm excited to be here.
I see you've got a nice hot beverage.
I have a nice hot beverage.
I like and, hot beverages.
And the excitement for the news is really is keeping me excited and happy.
I said I like hot beverages. I don't know if you heard that.
I did.
Okay. I didn't want you to miss
Would you
it.
Like one?
Oh, well, geez. Do you have decaf or tea?
I have decaf.
Oh, I love some decaf.
Well, on the next break, I'll go grab you decaf.
I'll just be thirsty until then. So
I ignored it. You repeated it.
Yeah. No, I wasn't going to let it go.
It's really good. Nothing like a nice warm beverage.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. So I've heard. So, all right. So the news. Let's do some news. Hey, you might have heard this. Violence going on in the world. None of that's going to be talked about today. This is not real news. This is silly joke news. It's not silly joke news, but it's dumb news for dumb people like myself.
Like
okay,
us, yeah.
So let's see here. All right. I'm just going to come right out with the headline of this one.
Hit me with it. Okay. I'm really excited.
Somebody just took a dump on the show floor of New York Comic Con. This is from bleedingcool.com.
Did we get confirmation that this was real?
I'm not sure. But I'm going to read it anyway.
What do you think?
Well, let's get to the inverted pyramid.
Get to the meat potatoes.
Earlier this evening at New York Comic Con, someone took a dump on the show floor. This may be the biggest story of New York Comic Con 2023. Well, that's the thing. A lot of people have been saying that this has been the most inconsequential Comic Con. No trailers, no anything.
Maybe that's why that guy took a shit.
Yeah, it could be. He knew he saw this as a chance. I'm just going to. This is written by Rich Johnston. I'm just going to repeat the headline. I mean, what more can I say? Early this evening in New York Comic Con, someone took a dump on the show floor. As reported to Bleeding Cool, the offending feces were found on the pathway leaving the autograph session area at the New York Comic Con show floor, left there by someone who clearly did not have enough time to get to where they needed to go and needed to go. I asked my trusted Bleeding Cool source for a photo of the poo in question, but was told, I'll be honest, I almost took a photo, but then I realized I would have taken a picture on my phone. I would have that picture on my phone. I could not do it. They did not have an area where they were cleaning it up, and it was not very interesting. I did some decontamination stuff, but that's about it.
So someone took a shit right in the middle of Comic-Con.
So let's treat this as it really happened. Let's hypothesize how this happens.
You think this is a very angry, unsatisfied neckbeard?
That's interesting. See, I don't see that. I see it as someone who's so devoid of tact that they, or maybe they're just, you know, it's Comic-Con, maybe they're dressed up, maybe they're hyped up. Maybe, you know, we're all breathing that air together.
And they shit themselves?
No, I think they had to shit. And they were like, you know what? I'm just going to dookie in my pants.
And then shake a leg?
Yeah, maybe they were dressed like Aladdin or something with like very, very like loose clothing. You know, like very loose pants.
If this happened at DCOM, can you imagine?
Like somebody like, and you knew it would dookie, would go to the bottom of your pant leg and then you could just sort of shake it off.
I've seen... Unfortunately, somebody do that in real life.
Have you really?
Yeah, when I worked at Applebee's, where all the greatest things on the face of the earth happen. an elderly gentleman strolled in.
Yeah.
took a shit. And then, like, shook his leg until it rolled out the bottom. And then walked out. I think he just, like, couldn't make it to the bathroom. So I kind of felt bad.
So he wasn't doing it on purpose. He probably was trying to use your bathroom, but he didn't.
But he didn't make it.
Yeah. And it was solid?
It was solid.
And he shook it to the ground.
He shook his leg until it just came on out and plopped on the floor.
There's an episode of Workaholics where the three guys go to like the gathering of the Juggalos. You know, the insane clown posse festival. And these two girls are like walking in front of him. He goes, "Oh, you dropped something. Oh, that's crap. That's
well, that's a human poop." I mean, I know that like at those music festivals, people be shitting, but not a Comic-Con.
I know.
It's a much more elevated cultural event.
I know. Like, what were you in such a rush?
What if somebody shit in the middle of BookCon?
I mean, no one. Yeah. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Here's the thing, because it's not diarrhea. And to me, diarrhea says emergency, there was a problem. If it's a full, hard, fibrous dookie from a fibrous diet, to me, that means you weren't sick. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it just means that you
maybe you really had to go.
But how? I want to know. I think that this reporter failed to do their job in reporting.
Sure.
How close?
I doubt that we could call this reporter.
How close this shit was to the nearest restroom? I feel like that's a detail you'd really want to include.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. As a professional journalism instructor.
Yeah. None of that's in here.
Should be. Should be. Because if it's really far from a bathroom. All right, I get it.
Yeah. But in a convention center, how far can you ever be from a bathroom?
Where is it?
I'm not sure. I've never been to New York Comic Con, believe it or not.
I wonder if it's like the Javits Center or something.
Because you would think I'd be the kind of person that goes.
Yeah, I'm surprised to hear.
I've never gone, and there's no like, let me see, where was it? New York Comic Con. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was just somebody who was looking for attention or somebody who was a little crazy.
That's possible. I mean,
you know, it is still New York.
You bet it is. I can't find where it was. Yeah, you know, there's no, like, I don't have any reason why I've never gone. Oh, yeah, it was the Javits Center. Yeah. I have no reason why
Javits Center's carpeted, isn't it? Yikes.
Yo. I have no reason why I've never gone. It's just like I never went. It's in October, which is always the wrong time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's like it's too close to the holidays coming up. And it's like, I don't know. I've never been the right time for me. I guess one day I will eventually go.
And shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And leave your mark as this man or woman did.
I think it would be very difficult to. The last time.
How many people must have been looking at him or her.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say him. I'm guaranteeing it was
him. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, unless they were like, I guess you'd have to stop, right? You can't walk into it. You have to be at least standing still.
I'm just picturing somebody, like the logistics. Like somebody must have squatted. Especially if they make it sound like it was in the middle of the.
Yeah.
The middle of the floor, like where everybody was walking. Like there's so many people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just.
What was the last time you pooped in public?
Like not in a toilet?
Yeah.
Like in public, like outside?
Yes.
I know, like once when I was in high school, you and I were hanging out with our friends, like drinking at like a park or like a playground. And I remember I kept saying to you, like, Mike, I have to go to the bathroom. And you're like, we're not fucking going to the bathroom. I'm trying to like kiss this girl and be cool.
I don't remember.
Yes. This. And I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. And then you were like, I'm going to go shit somewhere. So I just like found, I went behind some kind of like slide or something in the playground. It's a good thing I didn't get busted. I'd be like a registered sex offender, pants down in a playground.
You have to like tell every job you ever go over. Like, yes, I'm on the registry, but I was just taking a shit in the schoolyard. It was that night anyway. Here's my resume.
I shit on the ground and then I wiped my ass with some leaves.
Yeah,
but that I was like 15. I don't think I've done it since then.
Okay. The last time I'm going to say it, I was probably like 23.
Okay.
I had gone to get chicken and rice.
Oh, well.
In from Staten Island to Manhattan, that's quite a little journey.
God, yeah. And remember we used to do that?
Yeah, so we, and it's, you
know. Before halal was everywhere.
Yeah, it was very, it's very spicy halal food. And I ate it. And then, like, on the long drive back from Manhattan to Staten Island, you're crossing a big bridge and everything. I had to go, and I don't know, I guess I wasn't near home at all. And I was with a friend who, you know, like, encouraged me to, it was like, go ahead and poop somewhere. So I went, and I pooped behind a dumpster, behind a restaurant.
Was that your, did you, like, if you were telling me the story and then told me, like, and that's when I found Jesus, I would believe you.
I mean, I'd like to say, I would like to say it was a low
point. It was rock bottom, but
it wasn't. It was hilarious.
You know, interestingly, I have a very similar story on the way home from getting chicken and rice, except I made it to the bathroom. It was a bathroom of, like, that big CVS on Highland. And I was in the, I, like, ran in, and I was like, I need to use the bathroom. And the bathroom was, like, in the cosmetics section. And I remember just, like, fully shitting before the door even closed while people were shopping in the cosmetics section. Look away.
Oh, like, last year, I went and took a poop in a bathroom at a Target, and I thought I locked the door, but I didn't. So, and it was one of those, like, single person ones. So, like, I'm, like, getting up to wipe my butt. So, like, I'm nude. My penis is out. My arm is.
Your butt's all full of poop.
Yeah, I've got paper in my hand as I do the reach around. Someone opens the door, screams, as you would. I say, for fuck's sake, as if I was, as if they did something wrong.
I love how she's, they screamed.
They screamed.
Was it a woman or a man?
It was a woman. It was an older woman. It was a little lady who had to go home and deal with that.
Well, there were, I like,
because it couldn't have been the worst moment, because it's like I was standing up. I was like getting up.
Going at work is the worst. Like when people knock and you freeze and you're like, someone's in here.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet that was like, I still haven't figured out what I should say. And then somebody wrote back, I always respond, come back with a warrant.
Hilarious.
So good.
That's news. Oh, so next piece of news. All right, let's get serious. Let's get serious. This is some real news. This is some real news with some real consequences for media culture. Excuse me. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This is big. I found this to be big. Big, big news.
Big.
This is from Variety, but it was all over. Best Buy to end DVD and Blu-ray disc sales.
Wow.
The consumer electronics retailer will phase out sales of DVDs and Blu-ray discs, both in-store and online, in early 2024. According to the industry sources familiar with the company's plans, Best Buy made the initial decision to end DVD sales 9 months ago, according to one source.
Wow.
Best Buy confirmed Friday that it is ending sales on DVDs. To state the obvious, the way we watch movies and TV shows is much different today than it was decades ago. Making this change gives us more space and opportunity to bring customers new and innovative tech for them to explore, discover, and enjoy. This is a big deal because they were like one of the last stalwarts of physical media. You know, if you wanted a Blu-ray or a DVD that you didn't want to get from Amazon, you would go to Best Buy. Best Buy was it. Like, there were no more video stores, no more
Blockbuster.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't know if this, like, FYE and Saturday Matinee,
oh, God. They're few gone. And far between. I think they're gone.
There's still one in Jersey, in FYE.
Really?
But yeah, physical media, they were the biggest retailer of physical media. So this will have a huge effect, I think. I mean, it's not going to have an effect on the trajectory, because the trajectory has already left us behind.
Yeah.
Not that I'm really someone who collects physical media. I have to really, really, really adore a movie to want to buy it. And even then, if I want to watch it, it's probably easier to watch it on a streaming service.
Sure, yeah.
I've heard 4K is really good, but you need a 4K TV for that.
Yeah,
and it's a whole thing. And they say 4K is really good. It looks better than whatever. But, yeah, it's a big deal because it might lead to, you know, less manufacturing of physical media.
We're already at, I'm sure. Like, they're not manufacturing them the way they were,
oh,
right?
No, of course not. Of course not. Certainly. And then, like,
how much you pay for, like,
big,
a
like,
DVD?
Shows and stuff, like, do, like, you think of, like, oh, that's a big hit show, like, is, like, you don't find, like, I don't think there's, like, a, you know, box set of, like, well, The Mandalorian. I might be wrong, by the way.
I think there, I saw, I don't know what show it was, but I feel like I recently saw that, like, a show was available on Amazon on DVD, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
Like, just a couple months ago.
It will probably affect older audiences more because they're less sure. apt to but I think digital is everything. Have you gotten into Tubi and Pluto?
No.
Tubi and Pluto are, the best way to describe it is, think of like if Netflix and Disney Plus are like HBO and Showtime.
Yeah.
Pluto and Tubi, and I think there's another one or another few, are like the TNT. They are like the,
like, basic cable?
Yes. They're where things go, like the less big titles, and advertiser driven. And then they have their own live channels that are just playing stuff. Like, they have a Godzilla channel that just plays the Godzilla movies all the time on rotation. But then they also have On Demand. And On Demand, they'll just... bless you. On Demand, they'll just stop every once in a while and show you a commercial. And then come back. So it's keeping the old model going. So really, I don't know why you would need cable. The only reason would be, I think, if you were like a sports fan, because I feel like that stuff is still very tied into TV and networks and stuff.
Yeah, but less so. Like, they have Hulu Plus, I think, has like ESPN and Red Zone and stuff. And like,
wow, yeah.
I think it's just easier than ever to cut the cord. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like, I don't know, like, I hear mixed things. I hear from people who have done it who say, like, it's great, but then I hear from other people who have done it who are like, by the time you're done paying for all your streaming services, it's about the same you'd spend on cable anyway.
But aren't you paying for those streaming services anyway right now? What streaming service don't you have that's, like, big? You have all the basic
ones. I think
ones.
I have all of them, yeah. Or at least I know I have a password for all of them. The only one I don't have about. Is, what?
I don't know what you're saying.
The only one I don't have is Apple TV.
I don't have that one either.
And there's nothing really on there that, like, really want to watch.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to love to go and, like, peruse the Best Buy for back like when DVDs and Blu-rays were like
collectibles.
More even DVDs were like the hot thing. I actually saw somebody. I can't say I read it because I didn't. But I saw someone.
So you saw a TikTok is what you mean?
I feel like it was a headline. I saw somebody sort of bemoaning the loss of special features.
Oh, yeah.
Like making of docs, interviews, costuming, casting.
Yeah, featurettes.
Featurettes, original trailers, director's commentary. Those things.
I miss director's commentaries.
Me too. Those things used to be, you know, who's like, I feel like podcasters have taken that role.
I was just going to say, like, now you can find a podcast where, like, two people are, like, talking about a movie or something.
Right. It's not necessarily, like,
not a real
people
time,
involved in
or
it.
Or people involved. But, yeah, that it scratches that itch,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, like, I know Gourley and Rust are going to do an audio commentary of Halloween 6, but they're going to watch both versions of Halloween 6 at the same time.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know how that will work, but yeah. So yeah, I do miss.
It makes me think of my youth. Like, I spent a lot of time browsing them aisles.
Yeah, and you felt an ownership over your property. You were like, I love this thing, and I have it, and I have a piece of it. There's a thing that I love, and here it is. It's the thing that I love.
Can you think of what, like, the last, not the last, but like the last DVD you remember going to buy was?
Going to buy.
Like, the last time you were like, oh, I want to buy this and own it on DVD.
Oh, my God.
Well, or Blu-ray.
Probably The Last Jedi.
Wow, that's way more recent than
I do
I thought.
Like, as a nerd, I do like to collect the Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
I
think mine might have been, like, Dark Knight. I don't know. Something, like, really a long time ago. I have all of my DVDs in a... Like, I throw out all the cases and I put all the discs in, like, a binder, like, with sleeves for the discs. And it has been in my basement for 6 years.
Would scream at what you just
said. I don't care. And I don't remember what's even down there.
Yeah.
And honestly don't even know if I have a DVD player still hooked up at this house. I don't think we do.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think we do.
I had to turn on, I had to plug in and turn on my Blu-ray player to watch the DVD we bought of One Fine Day because it was not available.
I love that movie.
it's available. This was on the news recently, on the PCMC news. I think it was just, I was talking to Janine. One Fine Day is available nowhere to stream in America.
That's upsetting because that is a great movie.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Watch it again.
No, I know.
I've seen super, it recently. Super sexist.
It is. But it's like...
They're both ambitious, but he's the coolest dude ever. And she's cool a fucking bitch.
She's a bitch. She's a bitch. But it's charming.
All women, am I right? My ex-wife.
It's charming. It's cute. And
no, it's a good New York-y rom-com.
And it's a great rom-com.
It's a kind of rom-com kind of, I miss.
It's kind of movie. I was just going to say, it's kind of movie for adults they just don't make anymore.
That's goddamn right. I mean, but have you seen Never Have I Ever? That's a good one.
The television show?
No, not that. I'm sorry. Always Be My Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Everybody brings that up as like, see, the rom-com isn't dead, but like,
no, it's. I'm not saying it's not dead, but that's a good rom-com.
Yeah, but it went straight to Netflix, and it's already.
Actually, Bros was a really great rom-com.
I disagree with you.
Really? I thought it was so funny.
I thought it was funny. I didn't think it was a great rom-com.
I thought it was good.
I liked it. I did love it.
All right. Well, you're a homophobe. All right. So
that's clearly what it is. That's what Billy Eichner said.
You gotta say something.
Right? You gotta say something.
Actually, I just read the best response I've ever read, which was someone asked what's his name, Simeon, the director of Haunted Mansion, how he feels about its basic failure, and he's like, it's a bummer. And that was all he said.
I mean, hey.
He did say, I wish they didn't put it out the same month as Barbie and Oppenheimer.
What a stupid thing for them to do. Why on earth would they not release it during Halloween?
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't wait.
What a stupid idea.
You could have at least gotten some more juice out of it.
Right, releasing it next to Barbenheimer is like, I want to bury this fucking thing.
I know.
And it wasn't bad.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I just rewatched it. I enjoyed it. It's a good movie.
At my school, we have Spirit Week coming up next week, and one of the theme days is Barbenheimer Day.
Oh, you guys are so fucking hip.
I was really excited.
Do you have to pick one or the other?
No, you can blend them. Okay. It's like all black or all pink.
I actually haven't seen Oppenheimer yet.
What?
Listen, I will. I know it's filmed on IMAX, but there's something about Christopher Nolan.
I would never say that. It's a very good montage, 3-hour montage.
There's something about Christopher Nolan. He's so...
It's satisfying.
Though. He's so cold. I don't know.
It is. I mean, I didn't...
I like his movies. Every time I see his movies, I'm like, wow.
That's a great movie I'll never watch again.
Yeah, what a marvel. Oh, actually, I didn't feel about Tenet. Tenet truly sucks. But most of his movies, I'm like, wow, what a marvel. What cinema 101 that was. Oh, my goodness. All the everything.
And then, meow.
This isn't such a hot take. I feel like people say this about him. I don't know. I was too busy seeing... I would have seen it if I hadn't seen Barbie 3 times.
Yeah.
I was busy seeing Barbie a lot.
Did we ever talk about Barbie on this podcast?
I did a whole episode with Jen.
Yeah, I know. But did we ever
talk about it? You and I? No, we did not.
Interesting. But I have some thoughts, but we can hold those.
Save it for the chill sesh when I have a nice beverage. This one's just a movie announcement, but hey, it's news to me. Guillermo del Toro is making an adaptation of Frankenstein, which is like his lifelong dream. And how could that not be amazing? Did you see his Pinocchio?
No.
It was really fucking good.
Yeah.
In a weird year where there were like 3 other Pinocchio movies.
Yeah, there's like, Pinocchio's been adapted like 100 times a year for the last 5 years.
His is so good because he makes it during like, I think, World War II. So like fascism comes into it and like.
Mussolini?
Yes. And like the Pinocchio, when he becomes a boy, like goes to like little boy camp, like,
oh no,
like, like soldier camp, like it's crazy. And it's like, of course it's like very Catholic and it's stop motion. It's great. It's so fucking good. It's incredible. Did you see the Robert Zemeckis Disney one?
I haven't seen any of them.
That one was a real fucking bummer.
With Tom Hanks?
Yeah, like real, like, just like bottom tier fucking Disney remake. Like,
was Tom Hanks good at it, or was he phoning it in?
No. Let's...
Are you about to take down America's Sweetheart, Tom Hanks?
I, I think he'd still be great if he were still trying. But whoa. I think he's. Did you see Elvis?
No.
Did you see Elvis?
No. He's in that?
Yeah, he plays the fucking manager who the movie is all about for some reason.
What? What is this? That thing you do? The worst?
Yeah.
Because that movie's great?
You're not going to get this because you haven't seen it, but the best take on it was from the comedian Brian Posehn, where he was like, I don't understand the choice of when Tom Hanks played the manager and played him like Gargamel from the Smurfs.
I love Brian Posehn.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Oh, man.
And The Man Called Otto, it's just like, he's not good in it. Like, he's really? Like, he's
was
like,
that movie bad?
No, it was cute. It was a cute little drama, you know?
It reminded me a lot of, remember that movie with Bill Murray and Melissa McCarthy?
No, that was, I think, really good.
It was, but it seemed like A Man Called Otto was just like the same movie.
Kind of.
Oh, I know it was based on a novel.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What was that movie called? St. Vincent. That was a good movie.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah, like, what's the last good thing you remember, like, really be like, wow, he did great in it? Ooh. In Pinocchio, he's legitimately, like, not trying even a little
bit. Tom Hanks?
He's, like, got a Party City wig on, and he's like, pizza pie! Oh, Pinocchio, I'm gonna make you a fucking man of God.
Well, he's got a fun Rita Wilson singing career.
Everyone knows Chet is the one.
Chet
with
is my most toxic trait is that I'm attracted to Chet.
That is a toxic trait.
What was the last thing that I saw Tom Hanks in that I liked? Maybe the movie about Sully.
Yeah. All right. So Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein is starring Andrew Garfield, Mia Goth. Love her. Oh my God! She's perfect for that. She like looks like.
Is she playing Elizabeth?
Probably. Oscar Isaac.
Hot.
Christoph Waltz.
Who's Oscar Isaac playing? The monster.
Oh, that would make sense, right?
Yeah, because he's
exclusively for Netflix. Yeah. I wish it was in theaters movies were.
So Andrew Garfield's gonna be Victor.
I guess. Yeah. I can't.
Is it gonna be true to the novel, or is it gonna be his take on it? Can we get one true to the novel, please?
It seems like not. It's not, no.
Like, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is not at all. I mean, it's the closest to the novel, but the entire third act is not from the novel.
I recently just heard, and this is for, I actually heard it on Gorley and Rust, a podcast I can't stop talking about today, because they were talking about Bram Stoker's Dracula, that the reason they did that was not to make it literary, but to really guard themselves from being sued from Universal.
Was it at Universal?
No, it wasn't. Oh. I think it was Paramount. So they were like, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, like really drilling in, like, this isn't Dracula and Frankenstein as owned by Universal.
But I feel like that didn't, if that might have been the plan, but I feel like the perception was, oh, these are going to be true to the original literary source.
No. And I mean, Dracula's pretty.
Frankenstein is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, it's the right time period. It's like a lot of the same plot points. I haven't seen it
in so long.
But he still does the, like.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the Frankenstein thing. Yeah. And then the Bride of Frankenstein thing happens at the end. Basically, it becomes Bride of Frankenstein at the end.
It's so hard. It's like the Wizard of Oz problem. It's so hard when you've got a text and then you've got an adaptation that's really not faithful, but then that adaptation is itself a very, very famous text. Right,
exactly.
Like, you know, it's the Ruby Slipper conundrum. Like, if you were to make a Wizard of Oz that was, you know, true to the book,
Silver.
And who wants to do that? Nobody wants to do that.
Like, everyone even in Return to Oz, they made them
Ruby. Right. I like Bram Stoker's. I like Dracula. Other than adding the love story, and making like Dracula's bride is like Mina is like a reincarnation of his bride or something.
And his big butt head.
Oh, his big butt head. You know, that's all right. All right. You want to go to Trailer Corner?
Let's head over there.
All right. Let's fucking mosey on over there. So, first trailer. The Mean Girls musical trailer.
Yes, I've watched this 1,400 times.
It came out ahead of
Taylor Swift
Eras Tour, the movie, which I saw. We'll talk about later.
Ooh.
It's just a little teaser. It sounds fun. She's like Regina George is singing.
Yeah, it's the World Bird is the name of that song.
It's like a slow like.
It's It starts. The first line is "My name is Regina George."
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty sexy. And
actually, that's like throughout the show. And the second line is "And I am a massive deal."
That's awesome. I think it's incredible, and I'll say delightful that. Tina Fey and
Tim Meadows
are playing the exact same characters they played in the original.
Tina Fey was on a talk show recently. Maybe it was Jimmy Fallon. I don't know. But somebody made that joke that they were like, oh, how brilliant. You created a role for yourself that you could never age out of because teachers work till they're
80. Right, right. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. And they could have easily recast it.
Yeah, it's insane, kind of, she's playing the same role again.
It's fun. Because it's like, now she's 20 years later or something?
It's exactly 20 years later.
Wow.
And now she's got to sing. If it's true to the Broadway musical, the teacher sings in the Broadway musical. Wow.
Does Tomato sing?
Actually, the Broadway musical, the same woman plays Regina's mother and the teacher.
Interesting.
But in this one, Regina's mother is played by someone.
Right.
Busy Phillips is playing Regina's mother.
Oh, okay. Cool. I like her.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Pam from The Office is playing Katie's mother.
Interesting. Interesting. Do you think we have a little cameo for...
So, there's some tea on that. So from what's been reported is that all of them turned down cameos because they said that the amount of money was offered to them was disrespectful.
For a cameo.
Because basically they were, all of them were like, oh, and also I think they got mad because they offered Rachel McAdams the most.
Oh, okay. But she's the highest profile.
Exactly. I mean, she's the biggest star now.
I mean, some of you are making TikToks.
Well, actually, Amanda Seyfried is really big.
No, she is big.
I wouldn't be surprised if they, listen, Lindsay is not going to turn this down. Lindsay will show up. Lindsay would do it for $1.
Oh, come on.
She'll be there. I don't know about the rest of them. But I really hope. And then it looks like from the trailer, one of the teachers was in the show as one of the Mean Girls. So we're at a point where like there's people who are in the Broadway original cast making cameos too. There's a shot of, you know, the woman from...
One of the Mean Girls is now a teacher.
Yeah.
From the show.
You know the woman from Only Murders in the Building?
Which one?
She's like the really pretty like Asian one.
Oh, yeah.
She was
Joyride.
Yeah, she was Gretchen in the original Broadway cast.
Oh, and she's now in
the trailer as a teacher.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It's crazy how Mean Girls is like such a franchise now.
It is. I'm excited. I've not seen the play, but I am excited. I am going to see Anne Juliet.
Oh, so good.
We're going for our 4-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. No, so it's so good. And Mean Girls, I think, looks really good. The only complaint I have is I don't know about this girl who plays, this woman who plays Regina.
Yeah.
I don't love the way she delivers that get it loser line. I feel like she's like, at the end of the trailer, she's like, get it, loser.
Right.
And she's like too like edgy cool.
Right.
Where like, I feel like Regina is like very like, get it, loser. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense at
no,
all.
No.
But she's like,
I feel
too
like Rachel McAdams played her like, she played her with sincerity. Like she was really doing it, but also...
She was
in on the satire of she's awful.
Right. She wasn't like playing it really cool.
Like she's always should be a joke.
Right. And this girl seems just like she's delivering it like really cool. Like you're like, oh, Regina's fucking cool. Where it's supposed to be like, oh, everybody hates Regina because she's
Right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But other than that, I think it looks great. I also love like the blending of IP that it's like. It's the original Mean Girls logo from the original movie, but with the musical note in the A.
Yeah,
that's pretty
cool. And because it was shown before Eras Tour, it was like it was like you're here for the musical event of the year, and then there's another musical event, some kind of bullshit.
I'm happy that it's coming to theaters.
Yes, me too. All right, so it should be good. Our next trailer is Priscilla. Speaking of Elvis,
yeah.
Now I was excited about the
Baz Luhrmann.
The Bill de Blasio version of
Bill de Blasio as Elvis Presley. What a movie.
Incredible. I was excited about the Baz Luhrmann version of Elvis.
And but were you disappointed?
As we just said, Tom Hanks played it like Gargamel. It was very I like what Baz Luhrmann does, actually.
Hot take. I like his Gatsby.
There wasn't enough there. Like it was just that style and then not enough. Like, I wanted to... We already know so much about Elvis, right? I wanted to walk away, like, knowing a little bit more than I knew.
Yeah.
And I didn't learn anything.
You just feel like you watched, like, an E! True Hollywood Story.
Even less than that. Wow. He was, like, Christ in it or something. Like, it was weird. This is Priscilla, directed by...
Sofia Coppola.
We're going to be talking about her film, Marie Antoinette, next week. So, I like her. I've not seen all her movies. I've liked a lot of her movies. I've only disliked one of her movies.
Which one?
Somewhere.
I never saw that.
I didn't like that
one. Did you like The Blake Rig?
I watched it not that long ago, and I liked it.
I liked it.
It didn't have a huge effect on me. I really loved Lost in Translation, and as we'll talk about next week, I really love Marie Antoinette. But this is... It looks like a Sofia Coppola film.
It sure does.
It's got that silky smooth production design, you know, intimate looking. Yeah.
She's got an aesthetic that is so recognizable.
Yes, but it's not like Tim Burton's wacky lines. You know what I mean? No. Like it's an aesthetic that is like truly cinematically rich.
It is, and it's very. You could tell from the trailer to Priscilla, it's got a lot of like. She borrows a lot from like old Hollywood's, like old Hollywood cinema, like even down to like the title card being over like the silk, backdrop or whatever.
Yeah.
Like I mean, her movies just look incredible. I think it looks great from what I've heard. The real Priscilla liked this one a lot.
Okay,
and like this one has the like full like seal of approval,
and it looks like it's You know, they have a weird relationship. She was like a teenage, she was like 14 or something. And he was like 18 or something.
You know, it's her point of view.
Yes. And it looks like it doesn't make him look great.
Makes him look pretty bad.
It makes him look fallible, and which is good. Like, that's what I wanted from the Elvis movie.
Even in the trailer when he's like, I need you to have black hair and wear more eye makeup.
Yeah, like his crazy control and shit. Yeah,
weird stuff. None of that, I'm sure, was in the Elvis movie, right?
No. It's just like you got, it's the way I felt. This is a weird comp, but it's the way I felt about Passion of the Christ. Like, like if you're going to make a piece of art about an unknowable icon and still not give me anything, I still walk away not knowing them, seeing them as a person at all that breathes and lives.
Yeah.
Then what is... For me, that's what's the point.
Yeah, they are similar. And all that Aramaic in Elvis was really weird.
I found it off-putting.
No, I think it looks good. I think it looks great, actually.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing for her. And it's interesting because, like, I wonder how it can relate to Marie Antoinette. Like, do we have, like, the beginnings of what could be a cool trilogy? Like, what could be the next one?
Yeah, hey, that's a good idea.
You know, because it's like, here's a young girl, too like young to know what the royalty. Fuck she's doing. Right, yeah. Marries royalty, thrown into a world that's just too much for her.
Yeah.
People get mad at her, you know.
Yeah.
Although she wasn't, you know, Marie Antoinette was beheaded and Priscilla had a lot of fans, but, you know.
Marie Antoinette was beheaded, Priscilla starred in Naked Gun, the movie.
33 and a third, which is, you know, very different. But yeah, it looks good to me, and... you know how you know it's going to be good? Because they didn't go out and find a guy who looks like Elvis to play Elvis. They did, you know, like a movie, and they found an actor that they thought would play the character.
And I heard that guy who's in that other Elvis is like has been talking like Elvis ever since.
Yeah, he does an incredible impression. And that, you know, and I'm not saying he's bad in it. I don't know how
Which is the centerpiece of any great performance. Right.
I don't know how you can be good in a Baz Luhrmann movie. Because like,
you know, slam.
No, because it's like... You know, like how you...
Nobody's paying attention to the performance.
Yeah, how are you trying to find some... Like, how are you trying to find some emotional reality? And here comes John Leguizamo as on his knees playing fucking Toulouse-Lautrec.
Yeah. I mean, every Baz Luhrmann film, watching it, is like, I've just done so much cocaine.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's like mainlining a movie. But, excuse me.
I remember watching Moulin Rouge from beginning to end one full time and being like, I don't know what the fuck just happened. And then having to watch it again and being like, oh, I get it. Because I remember being like, she's coughing blood. What's going on?
Right.
Are they together?
Yeah.
This is moving very fast.
Yeah, it's very. I do love that movie, though.
It is a good movie.
So, yeah, Priscilla, I'm excited, bro. I'm excited to. I think it's. And similar to Marie Antoinette, there's a lot of books about the subject, but she picked a book that she really liked.
Yeah.
And I think she picked her autobiography.
Yes, she did.
Whereas with Marie Antoinette, she picked
the Antonia Fraser,
which is like very, treats her very kindly.
Yeah.
So the last thing we looked at is a trailer for Don't Destroy, The Treasure of Foggy Mountain. Don't Destroy is a, they're like the new Lonely Island. Don't Destroy is a group of three kids from NYU. They now work on SNL making digital shorts, and this is their first movie.
Okay, someone who didn't know that.
Yeah.
My takeaway from the trailer was, this looks great. What a bad title.
It is a bad title. It should just be called The Treasure of Foggy Mountain, starring Don't Destroy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, 100% honesty, the reason that I even watch a trailer is because Conan O'Brien is in it.
And he looks like he has a pretty big part.
Conan O'Brien as the dad with like the weird... I love that he's doing his third act he's going through now is so interesting and weird. You know, did you see the Weird Al Yankovic movie?
No.
He played Andy Warhol in it. I love when Conan pops up and shit.
I mean, I just love Conan. He just got such a raw deal.
I know.
Tonight Show thing.
I know, but he's got to do his Conan thing. So this is it looks funny. I mean, it's these kids that like are losers and they're brothers, I guess, or their best friends. They all call Conan dad.
Yeah.
And they work at like a Best Buy kind of store, and they decide to go and find treasure from a treasure map from their childhood. They get involved in a cult. At one point, someone's like, you're all waiting for this other shoe to drop, right? And then the other kid's like, this is like, if this were a Netflix true crime,
yeah, we're this the is second episode of the docuseries.
And
what a great night. Why are we tied up?
Yeah. So it looks funny. The eagle that walks away, she's like, why'd he walk away? Why'd he walk away with such an attitude?
Doesn't he know he can fly?
So it looks funny.
I think it looks really funny.
I haven't seen anything they've done except like that SNL promo where they all dress like Wednesday. That's all. Yeah, that's probably not their proudest work. So it looked funny to me.
Yeah, I think it looked really funny. It was giving me kind of like a little bit of like Superbad vibes, but like with an adventure aspect.
Who doesn't love a lovable loser?
Yeah. Yeah.
There are these two female cops that are on their trail.
That's hysterical.
And she steals their map or whatever. And then one of the kids punches her. And she's like, you just punched a woman. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then
the one kid's like, the other kid's like, you never punch a woman. And then she punches him and he punches her back.
Yeah.
And then the other kid's like, you hypocrite. And he's like, all right, I punched one woman.
In the grand scheme of things. And then she punches him again and he throws up.
It's so good.
It should be good. All right, let's take a break. This has been so long-winded. We ended up talking about Tom Hanks and pooping in public. We'll be right back. Hopefully I'll have a hot beverage. Welcome back to PCMC. Anthony, I'm going to say thank you for this beverage.
You're welcome.
It's warm. It's good. It's got some sugar in it. A little creamer. You're out of creamer. Hey, everyone's out of creamer sometimes. I want to say...
Usually not with their expected guests, but I have no matters.
You're doing a great job today, but I just want to say for the audience, you do sound horrible.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry for my fat breathing into the microphone. Normal. I always fat breathe into the mic, and I'm sure that this time around it's way worse. I'm a real bad mouth breather.
Me too.
Everyone listening at home. And I know that my episodes are filled with horrible breath, and I'm really sorry, and I try really hard. I think sometimes I overcompensate and make it worse because I try to like hold my breath when I'm not talking.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And then I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that doesn't work at all.
Because I'm so fat. I cannot breathe through my nose.
It has
nothing
to do with being
ever.
Fat. It has to do with, I imagine.
Fatty, what was the
Fatty
the
McGee?
Adam Sandler character?
Yeah.
It's like, I walked up the stairs and I ran out of breath. What a stupid character.
I know. It has nothing to do with being fat. It has to do with, I imagine you and I have the same reasons because we're brothers. I was told that I have really sensitive sinuses.
I haven't been able to breathe through my nose since the Bush administration.
I really, even when I can, it's like so labored.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I bet we have all sorts of stuff. Like if they dug in, they'd pull out like all sorts of.
No, I don't think it's not like a colonic.
Tissue. No, sometimes it is. Like it's just like. There's a lot of, like, tissue in there that they could pull out.
Well, I know that I grow polyps.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay.
And then they'll pull them out, and then you'll feel great for, like, a year, and then they'll grow back.
Right. Yeah, I went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. This is great content. And he was like, yeah, you have polyps. And I was like, can you remove those? He was like, yeah, there's no point. Some people have polyps, some people don't.
Exactly.
If you have polyps, you can grow.
They're going to grow back if you remove them anyway.
He also said that on top of that, I have narrow
nostrils.
Yeah, I have narrow everything against breathing through my nose.
Yeah, I can't breathe through my nose.
Even like when I'm like sick, it doesn't feel bad that I can't breathe through my nose. It feels bad that I can't regulate the pressure in my sinuses. By having it at least open,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like when I do you feel like when you blow your nose, like just nothing happens? It's like I could have not even done that.
Yeah, basically.
Anyway, yeah, so this is sinus talk.
This is
the sinus sesh.
Yeah, this is the chill sesh. This is the sesh where we chill. By God, I saw the Eras Tour motion picture,
and let me tell you something.
Please do.
I am a recent convert.
Me too.
And here's my thing. I haven't seen the Eras Tour yet. I want to. I like Taylor Swift. I've always liked her music.
Sure.
I thought I hated her. You know why?
Why'd you do?
Misogyny.
Why? Patriarchy?
Yes.
Keeping you down? Keeping
internalized
her down?
Misogyny. I realized one day, why do I hate this woman? And guess what? I didn't have an answer.
It's like, what is the big joke about her still, like, for the last 15 years? Like, that she only writes about her relationships.
So does every man
who's
ever written
a song. Yeah, so does every artist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just that we know about some of her relationships, but it's like, what does she write about? Like, fucking... Also, she has songs that aren't about relationships.
Of course. I think Midnights is a masterpiece. That's my hot take, because a lot of people, like, aren't crazy about Midnights. Mm-hmm. But I actually love her latest album, Midnights. I think it's amazing.
I don't go by albums. I'm also a recent convert. Jen is a huge fan. So Jen really wanted to go. She went, actually, I was recording the day it came out. So she went that night and then the next night. And I went with her the next night. I've been in a lot of movie theaters in my 40 years on this planet. And I've seen a lot of motion pictures. And I have never seen a bacchanal.
The vibrations in there must have been immaculate.
It was, and let me tell you, it was, I'd say, 80% girls between 12 and 15.
God bless. They get nothing. Give them something.
Yes. And they were, it was like there was no pretense of it being a motion picture. It was like,
it's just a concert. It's just, you couldn't afford, or you couldn't get tickets to the show.
Right.
Here it is. It's a movie theater
right.
for you.
We went to the
and
Alamo.
You're going to pay $19.89 for it because it's adorable.
We went to the Alamo, and the Alamo like sold like light up things that you could like fuck around
with. It's like
with.
You're in the concert.
Right.
It's almost like you're in the,
everyone was
it's
standing,
like you're in the annex room. Like
they were standing at one point towards the end. All the kids ran to the front. They were calling it the stage. Like, let's order the stage, but there's no stage, just an area in front.
Yeah.
And they were like taking pictures and selfies and flipping out.
That's so
and
cute.
And then they broke that up. The Alamo was like, this is a fire hazard. You got to go back. But then everyone was standing in their, not me and Jen, but everyone else was standing in their seats. And like, there was a girl behind me, her shrill was so, it cut through me. Like, screaming. At one point, I went out to go to the bathroom. And, you know, I go there literally like 5 times a week. So I know all them and they know all me. And they know me and Jen. And they were like, how are you doing in there? And I was like, I've never felt older in my life. And they were like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this.
God bless. You know what?
Yeah, Taylor I'm not saying Swift it's bad. I'd say
brought
it's
people
wild.
Back to the movie theater.
Do you know, like, the beginning of Scream 2, the stab premiere?
Where they're all losing their fucking minds.
That's what it was like, just without the ghost face masks. But with a lot of, like, girls dressed up, glitter
That's
and shit
adorable.
Like that. It was cute, and it's good. It's a good concert movie.
Yeah. She's an amazing artist.
And, you know, like, obviously they clean it up. They sweeten some of the audio. And, I mean, some of it, when she's, like, really dancing, is a backing track anyway. Right. But, like, the show is incredible. Like, what you're seeing
well, it's
is
all
basically
like the eras
show.
Of her life, right?
Yeah. And it's long. And it, like, she yeah. does every... It's, like, she does anything you could want. It's pretty crazy. It was good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's... I love her. Yeah. I'm, like I said, I'm a recent convert. Janine's a Swiftie. And I feel like...
Is that right?
I feel like Janine really loving her made me say, like, let me try to...
The first album of hers reassess. That was like a new album that I was like, oh, this is a new album that I listened to was Folklore.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I like Folklore. And it's like, it's funny, her aesthetics change with it. Like, she's doing like crazy dances for the early stuff. And then Folklore, she's like dressed.
It's all pared down.
Yeah, it looks very like she's on a set of Lord of the Rings. Like, she's like in like a hobbit hole, like yeah. with a piano.
Yeah.
Just, and like, you see her like. I mean, she's beautiful, but, like, you see by the end of the show, she's, like, sweaty.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of work... She did more work in that show than I've ever done in my life. Like, it's crazy that she did that every night for how long.
Yeah.
It's bananas. It's funny. Jen said, you know, this is what I thought the Barbie movie would be like. And the Barbie movie is what I thought Taylor Swift would be like. Because the Barbie movie is all adult women.
Yeah.
And this is all children. So she thought it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Like,
I haven't heard, like, what did kids make of Barbie? I know Barbie made, like, $1 billion, but, like, did kids like it?
When I went, I saw kids there enjoying it. But okay. I don't know if it, like, they love it. Because I think the things to love about it are probably, like, the grown-up-y thoughtful things
right,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
What are you chilling with?
Cheers.
Wow. Good. So I've never watched all of Cheers.
Neither have I.
Nice.
So I remember like...
Nice. You getting excited for the new Frasier? Is that what's happening?
No. No. I don't care for Frasier. But I remember watching Cheers as a kid.
Sure.
Nick at Night.
Fuck
well,
yeah.
Well, I remember we were really young. Like our parents watched it when it was
on. I remember like when it was on.
And I remember... Me too. And I remember like the finale being a huge fucking deal.
Yeah.
That
might be like, oh no, maybe MASH. I was gonna say that might be like the first big finale.
No, I think it was the biggest since MASH.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe Seinfeld overtook it or something.
Yeah. We'll get into that later. It's not news, but do you hear Seinfeld hinted that they're doing a reboot?
I did. They need
They did it on Curb.
Me, yeah, my headcanon is that what happened on the Curb season yeah. is what
right yeah like he invested Madoff yeah. took all of George's money
yeah that's what it was about yeah
anyway sorry so Cheers
so anyway I, so
is it
I,
amazing
I watched it later on like later in childhood like in my teenage years on Nick at Night and I liked it I remember and then I don't know like it's been pop it's been having a little bit of a resurgence lately I feel
sure
like.
Yeah
and I was like
well I feel like with our current streaming world, classic TV shows, like every now and then they'll just pop out. They'll just pop.
Yeah, yeah. So it showed up. Bobby and I just finished Mrs. Maisel, which I thought was great. Uh-huh. I love the way that it ended. But we needed a new show, and sure. we were like, let's do something funny, something short, like a half hour. So I was like, oh, maybe Community. I don't know. But like a lot of stuff I've seen and he hasn't. But then I was like, what about Cheers? Like he keeps popping up on all these lists as like shows to binge.
And that's the kind of thing where you're like, you want to like be like, yeah, I've seen Cheers.
Right.
You want to like have it.
And you've got a lot to work with because it's 275 episodes.
Yeah. And I know there's different eras.
There's the Sam and Diane era. There's the Kirstie Alley era. There's a lot.
Coach is there in the beginning.
Coach,
and then he gets replaced by Woody.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson. But anyway, I mean, I'm enjoying it a lot. I think it's actually, I mean, some of it's a little dated. But overall, it's still really funny. I love, like, I just, I really like, it's cozy.
Sure, I get
it. It's a cozy show. You know, it's like.
Well, it's, those shows like that are like in that nice medium of having serialization, but also having standalone. Overarching.
Sorry, go ahead. I thought you were going to say having overarching.
Like, oh, I meant that when I said serialization. Or character arcs. But, okay, yeah, but yeah. Maybe I used the wrong terminology. It gives you both. It's not like a Netflix show where it's literally just a movie in
chapter
five parts.
Chapter one, chapter two, yeah.
It's a show that has a story that goes on, but you can just watch episodes, and that's a nice in-between.
Yeah, Ted Danson was adorable.
Yeah.
Foxy.
Even then, he wore the hairpiece.
Yeah, yeah, but good-looking guy. And, you know, it's one of those shows when we were watching it, the pilot, I felt like I was watching it, and I was like, oh, I feel like this is a pilot that could be, like, taught in a class.
Okay, yeah.
Like, it's like one of those really well-written pilots.
You know what I think is one of the best-written pilots?
Mary Tyler Moore. Because it is.
Yes.
And Roseanne.
Roseanne is an incredible pilot. Well, the best for what it had to do is Cosby, which I know Cosby is himself a horrible person.
Well, look at Roseanne.
But Cosby, like, has a... Cosby had something harder to do because it had to, like, set up, like, a million characters.
Yeah. Well, Cheers, too.
The first, like, scene is all the kids and the mom. Like, they don't even get to Bill Cosby until the second scene, which was a smart way to do it.
Yeah.
And I believe the first one has that famous, like, joke where the kid's like, oh, we're rich. And he's like, oh, you're not rich.
We're
rich.
Yeah. Cheers has got that, like... I think it was originally conceived as, like, it feels like a modern or, like, an 80s Tracy Hepburn kind of, like, rom-com sitcom where it's, like, will they, won't they, the bickering, bantering.
Yeah, 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 like, bring
and
up
so
baby.
It was set, it was, the pilot is, have you seen it recently?
No, I may have never seen
the pilot is, Shelley Long's character, Diane, is there, and she's, like, a graduate assistant to, like, this really pretentious English literature professor. Uh-huh. And they go into Cheers when it first opens early in the day, and he's like, oh, I just looked over and I saw Diane. She's been my TA for 2 years, and I said, I'm going to marry this woman, but I just need to get my ring back from my ex-wife. So she's, like, going to wait here until I'm back. Uh-huh. And then it's, like, so she's there while he's away getting his ring from his ex-wife. And, like, she meets Ted Danson. She meets Rhea Perlman.
So she's
she's, like,
she's us.
No, but she's also the odd man out because she's, like, kind of stuck up. And, like,
it's
very, like, you know, like, TV version of academic. And they're all like, oh, it's a bar in Boston. And, you know, who's the lady with the stick up her ass? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he comes back and he's like, oh, she's a wonderful woman. And I don't know, like, seeing her made me change my feelings. And then she convinces him, like, no, let's get married. And then he's like, all right. And then he gets a call at the bar. It's his ex-wife. Come back. I'll give you the ring. I changed my mind. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to get the ring and I'll be right back. Of course, he never comes back.
Uh-huh.
He goes back with the ex-wife. And then at the end of the night, she's like, what am I going to do? He was also my boss.
Yeah, now
I don't have a job. And then Ted Danson is like, well, I need a waitress. So then that's how it's all set up.
Yeah.
So then the beginning, the sit of the sitcom very much in the beginning is like, she feels like she's kind of too good to be a waitress there.
Okay.
And she is attracted to him, but he's also like, somebody that, like, ticks her off.
Right.
Because he's got some, like, chauvinistic ways. And
he
only dates bimbos. And she's, like, really smart.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, classic
you gotta love
banter.
It. You gotta love it.
Yeah, it's great. And then it's crazy because that all changes because then she leaves the show a few years later.
Yeah. But the show continued
on. The show continued and then was still successful.
Diane is which one? Is that Shelley Long?
Shelley Long.
Oh, that's Shelley Long. So Shelley Long's the first one.
And then she gets replaced by Kirstie Alley.
Kirstie Alley, okay. That's a little bit like Rachel's story in the beginning of Friends.
Very much.
Literally, like, also, like, a failed marriage. She comes in with the wedding dress.
Yeah.
And then, like, gets the job that, like...
Yeah.
She's not stuck up in the way that she's, like, too
smart
for it.
But she's, like, a spoiled rich girl.
Right, she's, like, never had a job.
Yeah.
Interesting. So where are you... How much have you watched?
Oh, we're only like halfway through the first season.
Okay.
But we're both enjoying it so far.
What's your rate of enjoying it?
Like, what rating do I give it?
No, no, no. Like, how often? Like, you do two a day, one a day?
We do one or two a day.
One or two a day.
But I was going to say rating. I give it, like, a solid B plus. But I get the feeling that, like, after season one, it's going to hit its stride and get better.
It's probably, like, season two to four is the perfect time.
Like, Seinfeld. I mean, we watch Seinfeld reruns all
the time. It's awful in the
beginning. I cannot watch
seasons one and two
and most of three. It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's like painful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Which is actually kind of sucks because like Larry David left and the show was really good still. So like he's responsible for a lot of the stuff that like isn't that great.
Yeah, but he was there for a lot of the good.
He was. But like,
and I think after he left.
It gets very cartoony.
The wheels kind of came off the. Yeah. It just becomes like a cartoon of itself.
It does. But I do think season 9 of Seinfeld is really good.
I can't remember them by seasons. It's been so long since I watched them.
Oh, we watch them all the time.
Yeah.
That's another show that has like eras.
Yeah, for sure.
So in the early seasons, there's a lot of talk about the fact that Jerry and Elaine were a couple.
Yeah.
And then they sometimes still hook up and whatever. And then that just totally goes away.
Yeah. And there was that weird. There was that weird 90s vibe where they were like, isn't it cool that we're not narratively satisfying this?
Yeah.
Like, aren't we cool for, like, you know, not doing stuff?
It's
like,
a show about nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least they made fun of that, though. Yeah. On the show when they get the pilot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then NBC's like, why would we put on a show about nothing?
Yeah. So then it ends up being about like a butler. He has to be a butler for somebody.
Yeah. He gets into a car accident, but he doesn't have insurance. So the judge makes him be the other guy's butler. So anyway, I'm chilling with Cheers.
That's awesome. So we finished a very successful run of slashic episodes for Halloween. And if you listen to those, thank you for listening. But you and I are recording this actually in October. So, you know, there's going to be a little residual spookiness on this episode.
I hope you don't mind.
I hope you. I think you don't. If I know you, I don't think you mind. So this time of year, what do you like? Do you do any media consumption related to the season? You know, are you one of these guys who's like, oh, I got to watch The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
You know,
I got to watch some spooky motion pictures.
Nothing is ever stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, if I'm in the mood for something, I know where to go. You know, I know where the good stuff is.
Yeah.
Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown is great. Sometimes I just listen to the soundtrack.
It's a great soundtrack.
And around Christmas time. I feel like even if whether on purpose or not, I always end up watching Hocus Pocus, including today. I watched Hocus Pocus today because I was at a work event and it was like a Halloween party. It was on in the background, so I watched it.
I love that it's a fucking classic.
It's a classic
that kids like.
Yeah, but like this was a party for all adults. And it was just on in the background.
Okay.
For me, a new one that like I only. Well, I saw it when I was a kid, but I rediscovered a couple of years ago. It was Practical Magic.
Oh, that's a Halloween?
For me, that's a Halloween-y one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. How about you?
I've got a... It's a two-month film festival for me, like starting in September, at the beginning of September with my birthday. I tend to alone watch scary movies because Jen doesn't like scary movies. So I'll just like... Every night, it's like, what's the feature presentation tonight? Like,
that's fun.
And I'd say like 99% of that is new stuff. New to me. Like, I'll go through Shudder and watch stuff from the 80s. This year, I watched The Invisible Man, Creature from the Black Lagoon. You know, I tried to watch some of the Universal stuff I didn't watch. I watched the... I think it's a 50s movie, The Cat People. Then I watched the 80s remake, which is really cool. I watched a lot of stuff. I've watched a lot of stuff this year. As for things that repeat, me and Jen watch Hocus Pocus every year. We watch Paranorman every year, which is a slept-on movie that's really fucking good. Paranorman. We actually don't watch...
Great Pumpkin?
No, yeah, we're not big Great Pumpkin people.
I find
the aesthetics of it is great, but I find all the Snoopy stuff hard. Just interminable.
It sure is. It's also there's but there's like a melancholia to those peanut specials that I really like love. It like it also, makes me like nostalgic, but also want to cry a little bit.
Peanuts, the Great Pumpkin is actually really good for like a fall vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
We watch Over the Garden Wall every year.
Yeah. Hey, do you remember the Garfield Halloween special?
Yes, that's getting a bit of a revival.
Yeah, because it's so scary. It in years, haven't seen it in years.
I watched it a couple years ago.
Gotta watch it. You know,
I watch as much as I. Yeah, go on.
You know, it would be great. Some old Scooby-Doo stuff.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo stuff. I like Scooby-Doo. Sometimes we watch Casper, Boys Out of Sad Movie. Saddest movie ever made.
It sure is. Let me keep you. Can I keep you?
And the, like the piano music. The dun, 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 okay. Dun, dun, dun. It's like this boy died of pneumonia in this movie.
The mother's ghost.
Yeah.
Kills me every time.
Well, like, can we talk about the most fucked up thing I've ever seen in a movie ever? More fucked up than like anything in like Faces of Death. When Fatso, Stinky, and Stretch are like, oh, we know your wife. And then it's just Fatso with like lipstick. And he's like, oh, honey. The fact that they do that to that man who thinks he's going to see his dead wife is the cruelest, craziest shit I've ever seen in a movie. It's bananas.
But I do love, I think it's a great movie. I love.
No, it is. It is a good movie.
She's like Cinderella. Like, it's like the Cinderella thing. You have until 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's so sweet.
Sad. It's great. I love the look of the house. I love.
The music, the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's very good.
And who's the villain? What's her name?
Kathy Moriarty.
Yeah.
Very good.
She is good.
And Eric Idle as her, like, lackey.
Yeah. And then the Ghostbusters are Dan Aykroyd's
in it. Character. So it's Father Guido Sarducci.
How sad is it that he died of pneumonia and he's cold?
I know.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
It's so... In the middle of that movie, there's just like...
Talk about like going for like a cheap IP and then just like building it up.
I know.
To like this super good, but also like super sad fucking movie.
And it's funny, like it gets me now. When I was a kid, I was like, this is boring part. Let's go back to fucking Fatso, Stinky, and Stretch.
Let's go back to...
They're the best.
Do you remember having the toys?
Yeah. I remember I had the Stinky that came with like, he like his had breath. Pizza breath or something.
He had like hot breath.
Yeah. And he glowed.
And he burped when you pushed his tummy.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that
Fatso glowed and stretch. Yeah. You could stretch.
I always watch... I basically watch as much of The Simpsons as I can. This year, I actually said, like, you know what? Let me watch the first five. And they are so... Like, the first run of, like, four are so good. The first one is, like, to me, it's, like, Great Pumpkin level, like...
Yeah, it's classic.
It's so... All three stories... are more than just a series of gags. They're like actual... The Simpsons are actually characters in it.
Yeah.
They're a little bit actually spooky.
Is the Raven in that first one?
That's
it's a great one.
It's
the full reading of the Raven.
Yeah. It's the Haunted House.
Which is the Amityville Horror, right?
Yeah. And then Abducted by Aliens. And then the aliens... they accuse the aliens of wanting to eat them, and they don't. Like, it was still in that time where, like, it was the joke is, like, The Simpsons are American Family and American Family suck.
Are awful, yeah.
Yeah, like, the house destroys itself then rather than live with them.
Yeah.
Like the joke is...
The house is like, well, then I guess I know what I must do. Yeah. And it self-destructs.
Goddamn. I mean, and I do like some of the later ones. Actually, I think the middle gets bad, but then, like, the last 10 years have been good because now they do this thing where, like, they do different art styles. Like, last year they had, like, an anime one.
That's awesome.
And they do, like, one... A couple years ago they had, like, it was called The Others, and they were haunted by the ghosts of the original Simpsons.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, in their original designs with their original, like, voices. That's like, just really the cool. Actors doing the voices like they used to do it. It's really interesting.
Which is the one where Homer's in 3D?
That is 5 or 6, I think.
God. That was early. I remember that one being a big deal. And I love that one. I love when he's going through all like the different versions of like his life or whatever. And then, or whatever it is. And then he shows up and like they're rich and Patty and Selma are dead.
That's not the 3D one though.
Oh, isn't it? I thought
it was. The 3D one is he gets lost in a 3D world and like.
Oh, it's based on that Twilight Zone one with the fifth dimension, right?
Right. But the one you're thinking of is where he's got the
toaster, butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then, and then, so he's rich, and then the only thing is there's no donuts.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then he's like, it's raining again, and it's raining donuts. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. And then at the end, they're basically the same, but they have like lizard tongues, and he's like, that's close enough.
Yeah.
Some of the really good ones will connect all three stories thematically, or like there's the
Freddy Krueger one is good.
Yeah, and that one, I think, is that the one with Willy? There's one where Willy dies in every...
Is that the...
all three.
Is it the Shining?
The Shining? God, I don't remember.
That's Willy.
Yeah, Willy really shines during Halloween time.
Freddy.
Yeah, and it's like, it's great Halloween vibes and stuff. And I mean, like, yesterday I just spent an hour... you can find on YouTube, like, compilations of 80s and 90s Halloween commercials. And some of them, and it's really just nostalgia porn, because you'll recognize it, but something you haven't thought about in so long, and you're like, oh my God. Like, do you remember the Hallmark commercials that were like, come to Hallmark and with your purchase for an extra $4.99, get this tape of Halloween sounds, and it's just like scary sounds.
Yeah, I think so.
That was like a thing in the 80s.
Yeah, it's like you play it at parties.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Halloween parties.
Yeah. Like, it was so, yeah. And so, yeah, like, I just watched so much shit. Cool. I watched both of the last two films of Brandon Cronenberg, the son of David Cronenberg, he's basically doing exactly his father does.
Yeah.
The first one was called Possessor, which is like this world where this woman's an assassin, and she goes into your body and then uses you to kill somebody, and then kills yourself, and then she comes out of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
But every time she does it, like, after she comes out, they have to do like a test with her and like be like, which one of these objects are yours? Because her psyche, the longer she's in somebody else, her psyche like blends with theirs.
Okay.
It's very interesting. And then Infinity Pool has Mia Goth in it, and that's about like this place where like it's this fictional country where white people go and like go to like a resort, and like if they get in trouble, like they'll be sentenced to death, but you could also pay to have a clone of you made, and then they'll kill your clone. Like, and then like he meets these people that are like, they do it all the time, and they have multiple clones.
That's cool.
It's crazy.
And shit. Of course, I mean, it's Halloween, so you gotta see Exorcist Believer.
Yeah, I actually did not see that one.
No one did.
You know, but you know.
Actually, no, it actually did okay, I think, at the box office.
Yeah, it's just the reviews are bad. I'm not against seeing it. It's the kind of thing I'd have to see alone or with you, because Jen would never see it.
I read the whole plot and spoilers.
Yeah, it doesn't seem good.
It's interesting, question mark. I knew, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it, but I knew the, like, yeah, when I read about the ending, I was like, oh, I saw that coming from a mile away. Right. I called it from the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
The way it was going to end.
Yeah. Ah, boy. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with obsessions. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. This is Obsessions. Anthony, what is your obsession?
All right. My obsession is Jada Pinkett Smith memes.
Memes?
Memes.
Okay.
Not her.
Yeah.
Really, okay. It's more the Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith
memes. Did you hear she revealed that Chris Rock asked her out?
Bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So in these times,
yeah,
with what's going on in the world, we don't need Jada Pinkett Smith's memoir.
She is, to me, she's on the level of Gwyneth Paltrow now.
She is. And
of annoying, but also you don't do what you were doing, which is acting in movies.
Right. So what I love is just like, she's doing all these interviews to promote her book. And it just seems like, again, in these times, it feels very tone deaf. And so I love that the cultural conversation on the internet has just been dragging the Smiths and being like, we don't give a fuck about you and your marriage.
Yeah.
So just all the memes are really funny of like her. And she also said that Tupac proposed to her. So like all these memes where it's like Jada Pinkett Smith reveals she's actually been Tupac the whole time, like stupid ones. And then
she said, I heard the one where she said, like, when the slap happened, the thing that surprised me most is that he called me his wife.
Yeah, it's like, stop. And then she also said, apparently she says in the book that like she never liked Will's music and she like listened to Tupac to get in the mood, which is like, what, stop humiliating. I don't use the word emasculate a lot because it's sexist, but like, she stop cucks him left and right. This poor man. But I saw, like, there are just so many funny tweets and memes.
She's like, I have to think about fucking, I've got to think about other men to come with him.
Because so there's one that was like, I just love when people, like, comment on tweets.
Yeah.
And it was like, Jada Pinkett Smith reveals she and Will Smith have been talking about writing a book together following the release of her new memoir. And the person just wrote, please leave us alone.
Leave us alone.
And then another one that I saw that was really funny. Jada Pinkett Smith says she knew she was pregnant within seconds of having sex with Will. And then the person wrote, I will personally pay for them to stop interviewing her. Like, please, we don't care. Nobody cares. Please leave us. Get out of our lives.
I know.
So it's just been making me chuckle.
Yeah.
And I've been looking for new ones every day.
I feel a little bad for him because he seems to really care about her.
Yeah. They have a fucking... You know what it is? The biggest revelation is just like, oh, you guys have an absolutely horrible, toxic marriage.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be together.
Right, right, right.
So that's...
But it seems like she doesn't want to be.
Yeah, no. not at all. And it's just all of everything I've learned about them has been against my will.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
And then I just feel like memes in general having a resurgence. Like with the Kevin James meme has really been tickling me too.
Well, that... Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's a resurgence because memes aren't having a resurgence, but like
still images, image yeah, memes. Yeah,
image based, like the the Kevin James was shrugging shoulders.
It's just so funny. And the most meta one was like when you're Kevin James and you see you've become a meme, and it was him doing it. So good. So anyway, that's my little obsession.
That's great. It's fantastic. Jada Pinkett Smith. Obsession is Adventure Time.
Okay, great.
Come on, grab your friends. We'll go to very distant lands. I've been kind of crawling through Adventure Time. Every episode's 11 minutes, but
that's perfect.
Yeah, but it's colorful. It's fun. Me and Janine were
talking. Is it funny?
Yes, sometimes. Me and Janine were talking about it recently, and she made a good point that she was like, it's like Harry Potter, the way it grows with you. And I'm seeing that. Like, I'm in season 4 now, and, like, there's much darker shit and, like, more serious shit. And it begins in such a cartoony place. So it's really very interesting.
Where can you find that? Where is it streaming?
Hulu. It's all on Hulu, Daddy.
Hulu's really... Netflix is really, like, not... is in its flop era. And I feel like Hulu's really got its foot on Netflix's neck right now.
Netflix is really... just like a movie studio / TV production studio. And no one thought they can do it and they did it. So good on them. They basically were like, okay, Hollywood doesn't like that we're making so much money off of them. We have to take everything off here and make it content. Like, I think if you were to take a kid who's like loves Netflix now and like bring them back 10 years, just 10 years, and show them Netflix, I think they'd be shocked that it's all, like, just movies and TV shows that they've heard of
right.
That aren't Netflix movies and TV shows.
But I also just
it's all like, them now.
Yeah, but, yes, but I also feel like their model...
It just went up. It's like $20 now or something. It keeps going up.
It's ridiculous how much money it is. It's ridiculous that they're cracking down so much on the password sharing. Right. It's really annoying.
Yeah.
And also, like, their model of dropping entire seasons at once, I feel like we've just quickly gone back to the old model.
Yeah.
And, like, other...
No one else does
other
that.
Other streaming services are having more success going back to week to week.
Right.
So, Netflix will drop a whole season, then it's like, oh, great, I watched it in a day. The cultural conversation is over.
Right.
Like, it just... It's here and it's gone.
Right.
Whereas, like, other things... They have full seasons again. So it's like people talking about it for longer.
Yeah.
So Netflix is just, yeah, it's in its flop era.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to find others, I feel like Hulu, I turn to Hulu a lot if I want to find content that's not like original stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been PCMC. This was a fully... Anthony, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
me. I'm sorry you're feeling under the weather.
Thank you for your condolences.
We end our episode by saying,
go bye-bye.